This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, with our third podcast on trout fishing. In the first two sessions, we were talking about the trout food within the stream, how to read the water, how to locate the various feeding stations the fish could be on. Now, in this particular cast, we're talking about how to spot the trout in the stream, how to actually see them. Although we've made some distinctions thus far about how to differentiate between the medium-sized stream and the small stream, this applies uniformly on all the streams, just how to see the fish, and then we'll talk about how to fish for them. Two things that you really need here is a hat with a dark brim underneath to help shade your eyes. This is almost essential if you're going to be successful in actually spotting the trout in the stream. Polarized sunglasses, not just dark glasses, but polarized sunglasses are essential. I wear clothing that are subdued colors. Now, this obviously doesn't help me see the fish, but it does allow me to get a little bit closer where I can actually spot them. Now, the main thing in this is to have confidence in yourself that this is going to work. If you move into a pool and really take time to scan that pool, knowing that you've got a pretty good chance of seeing those fish, that goes a long way. Now, what you're actually going to see out there in the stream is seldom going to be a trout lying right there boldly in front of you. Rather, what you're more than likely going to see is what I call visual triggers. These are subtle things that would be happening in the stream that'll alert your attention to a specific location. You scrutinize that more carefully, and there is your trout. Now, the easiest trigger to spot is the trout's movement. Now, I'm not talking about that guy you spooked and you when you moved into the pool and he ran for cover up in the deep part of the pool. It's a waste of time to even try to fish for that guy because you've already scared him half to death. What you're talking about here when you're talking about the trout's movement would be maybe a subtle relocation on a feeding station, maybe moving as little as 6 or 8 inches to one side or the other. If he turns to the side to take a nymph, those type movements are usually pretty easy to spot because our eyes pick up that reflected light off his side. Sometime if he's taking a nymph, you'll see what we call whiting a nymph. That's when he opens his mouth and exposes the white inner side of his face to that nymph. So those type things really help you spot the fish on his movement. Now, another thing, another trigger that helps me see the fish in the stream are the fish's colors. For instance, a rainbow, a brightly colored rainbow lying over a brown cobblestone bottom is very, very easy to see. The white edge of a brook trout's fin, one of the most beautiful things in all nature, but this stands out very vividly over a darker stream bottom. One of the biggest brook trout I've ever caught in my life, I can still see in my mind's eyes, lying down in a very deep pool back on a lip feeding station, and I didn't see anything except the white edge of his fins. So the color that's available to us to spot is another thing. Now, somewhat in this same general direction, another trigger that I use often is the shading of the trout. For instance, if you're going to be fishing out in the rivers, out in the Rockies, you may see a real brightly colored rainbow lying over a darker stream bottom. This would be a good difference in shading because he's going to be much, much lighter than the stream bottom. Another trigger that I use a whole lot is the contrast in the shape. There again, back to the brook trout. His square tail, when you're looking up in there, is often easily visible if he's lying beside a boulder or something like that where everything around him is sort of round or oblong shape, and there you see this straight edge of the brook trout's tail. One of the biggest browns I ever fished to in my life did not catch, but I spotted in the fire hole when he was lying under the edge of some lava flow, old lava flow there in the fire hole, and I was watching the edges of those as I was moving up the stream, and here this elongated head of this brown was sticking out from under that lava flow. So things like this, the difference in the contrast of the shape is a great help in spotting that fish. Now, the fish's shadow is a real giveaway. Now, of course, you've got to have some sun in order to take advantage of this. But some of the best fishermen I've ever known have taken advantage of the shadow that fish cast in order to locate him. And this has become one of my favorite triggers. I was fishing up in the Crazy Mountains with Charlie Waterman one time. We were on a stream that Charlie knew real well, and we came up to this beaver dam, and Charlie said, "I know there's some big rainbow in here. Let's just pause for a minute and see if we can spot any of them." Well, after just a short time, a minute or two, Charlie spotted one up toward the head, and he said, "There's a nice one over against that far bank below those willows." Well, I kept looking and looking, and I couldn't see the fish. Charlie points up through there with his fly rod, says, "Right up there where I'm pointing." Well, I still couldn't see this fish. And it was a bright, sunny day, and Charlie says, "Just squint at him, and you'll be able to see his shadow on the stream bottom." I squinted at him, and it was a tremendous rainbow, and then we finally took that fish. But the shadow can be a tremendous help, because often a fish will have quite similar shading and color to his immediate environment, but he can't hide that shadow. Now, the shadow can also trick you. One morning I was fishing in the Blue Ridge Mountains early in the morning. I had done fairly well thus far. It was about 9 o'clock, and the sun was still fairly low. And I came into this fairly long pool. I was looking upstream, didn't see any fish on the lip feeding station or anywhere back in the tail, and finally, looking way upstream, I spotted a pretty good-sized brook trout up in the head of this pool. He was even turning from side to side to take some nymphs. So staying back in the rear part of the pool, I shot a long cast with a dry fly up over him and drifted right over him, and he didn't take it. Well, it kind of surprised me, because I felt sure I had a good drift, and I was reasonably sure I hadn't spooked him. Two more drifts, he didn't even look at it. And I was really puzzled as to what was going wrong when about that time he rose to take a natural from the surface of the stream 4 feet to the side of where I had been drifting my fly. Come to find out, I had been casting to that fish's shadow instead of to the fish. So although the shadow's a big help, it can fake you out at times. Now that you see these triggers that we rely on, let's look at some of the physical parameters of the stream that we have to consider in this. One would be the position of the sun, another one would be the texture of the stream surface, and certainly the physical makeup of the stream bank around where you're looking for. Now, with regard to the sun, I like the sun high over my bank. Now, if you get it low over your back, you're going to throw a shadow out over the fish, and that's the end of the ball game. But you'll learn to adjust for this. But when you can get the sun over your back, it's pretty easy to spot these fish out on the stream. I don't know how this goes, and I'm not sure I'm 100% right in it, but I think at times, with this bright sun behind it, it almost blinds the fish to our locations. I do know that if it's turned around, if the sun is on the far side and the trout is between me and the sun, or in other words, the sun's looking down on the trout and back on me, those guys can spot me in a hurry. But if the sun's behind me, it works to my advantage. So definitely move around across the stream. Now, you can't move with the position of the sun, of course, but you can kind of jockey around from side to side. As you approach a pool, look over it to sort of anticipate where you might find the feeding stations. Then consider where the sun is, and maybe move yourself around a little bit from side to side in order to give you a better chance of spotting that fish in the water. And it definitely works. Now, the heavy water below the riffles, this is heavy surface. This can really mess up your chances of vision across the board. However, there are often windows within this choppy surface that let you look through them, and you can spot your fish down there. This is the way I caught one of the biggest rainbows on the Madison River I've ever had in my life. This big rainbow was lying on the edge behind a great big boulder, feeding on everything that came by. I was easing my way up the stream, spotted him down in there, actually took him on a little ant, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get into the tactics in a couple weeks. But the heavy water, what it can do for you, although it blocks some of your view, it can let you move in relatively close to the fish, because in heavy water like that, they're not spooky. Now, a choppy stream surface, I'm talking about a uniform chop all the way across a pool, for instance. This can occur with a wind. It can happen depending on the current itself. But it's that little chop that's sort of like reflected light rays of many different points throughout the pool. Now, the best way I've found to see through this chop is try to line the pool up, line the water I'm looking at, up against the far bank. A big flat boulder on the far side, trees on the far side that would let me line up where I'm looking with regard to this choppy surface. This often helps me tremendously. In fact, the boulders and the ledges and everything on the far side can block out incoming light. So if you're fishing into the sunset, we'll say, fishing up a mountain or in a spring creek into a sunset, the sun is right in your eyes, you can't see very well, and you're relying on trying to spot these fish to go after the big fish in the pool in many cases, then try to use that far bank, the trees on the far bank, the boulders on the far bank, to block that sun, not just off your eyes, but off the stream itself. That will often enable you to spot the fish, which otherwise you wouldn't have a chance. Now, these are just some of the tricks I use to help me see the fish in the stream. Basically, this is one of my favorite ways to fish for trout. I use this often late in the fall when the streams are low. A lot of the fish move into the back eddies. The only way you've got a chance on those guys is to actually see them on their feeding station. So I use this tactic often. If you have any questions on this, just give me a call. I'll be glad to talk to you about it. Now, in the next several issues of this, we'll be talking about the tactics going from spring to summer to fall, and how these apply on the small streams, how they apply in the middle-sized streams. But we're going to be covering the whole thing here in about the next 4 or 5 weeks. This is Harry Murray at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. Thank you very much.